Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
A fire alarm has been set off as Princeton activists protest Bennett's lecture, because nothing says a free speech like stopping somebody from speaking. Former Prime Minister Naftali Bennett Monday's lecture at Princeton University was interrupted by a fire alarm and activists charging him with the supposed war crimes. That's according to social media posts by Bennett and anti-Israel groups. According to a Tuesday Princeton Palestine Liberation Coalition Instagram post, my word, there's a lot of words on that, and along alarm sounded in McCosh Hall, where Bennett was speaking as a guest of Princeton School of Public and International Affairs. So Princeton Tigers for Israel and Be'artzenu Princeton accused protesters of pulling the alarm to bring the event to an abrupt end. And that is the war. That is the war that is being fought. It is happening at many, many different levels. It happens in Gaza. It's happening in the north of Israel. It happens in Yemen. And of course, it happens in the government of South Africa, where they have taken Israel to the courts, to the international courts. What about the United Nations? Well, Anne Hertzberg is a legal advisor of NGO Monitor. She's an expert in lawfare. She joins us again this morning. And good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I do want to talk to you about the Red Crescent, because it's becoming a little confusing for me. Because the Red Cross, of course, has been horribly silent, aside from the Uber service that they provided to Hamas. But all of a sudden, there's a lot of conversations that are going on. What is the latest in terms of this incident with Israel and the shooting of the what has been alleged to be Red Cross or paramedics?
Yes, so it's still a bit unclear what has happened. The incident is under investigation right now by the IDF, but what appears to have been going on is the early one morning, IDF troops were, I guess, supervising the movement of civilians to other parts of Gaza, and at some point came under fire by Hamas. And what the part that's unclear is, was an Palestinian Red Cross ambulance part of that? Were they shooting at the troops? Were they part of this Hamas convoy? That's where the confusion is coming, because subsequently Israel's identified at least half of the people that were killed were Hamas combatants. So it's unclear whether it from within the ambulance they were also shooting at the IDF troops, or they were nearby this other Hamas car that engaged with the IDF troops.
Right.
So that is one issue that's going on. And then the other issue is that it looks like some of the IDF buried some of the bodies to prevent animals from getting to the bodies before they could be collected by Palestinians. And so the Palestinian Red Crescent is making a big hullabaloo about this as well.
The fact that the IDF didn't report accurately, in other words, about the lights, is that a indication that there could be more to the story?
I think that's why it does need to be investigated. It's unclear. Also, that video that came out, you know, I don't know if that was an edited video, the context of the video. It very well could be that the soldiers, you know, didn't give a straight answer regarding the lights.
Right.
So that's something the IDF is going to have to look at. But I think it goes to a bigger issue that people are always expecting perfection in war. Things like this happen. Now, whether or not there was some sort of crime involved, that again is something that has to be investigated. But in the past, there have definitely been instances where ambulances have been used for terrorists, both in Gaza and in the West Bank. So it's definitely not unusual that they would be exploiting an ambulance or fire upon IDF troops from that ambulance. So, I mean, that's really the issue. The lights, you know, may turn out not to be a really pertinent fact, but they were still firing from the ambulance, even if the lights were on.
Absolutely.
That in and of itself would still justify firing back at it.
Right.
So, you know, again, it's just there's a lot of facts we don't know. But of course, the anti-Israel commentariat also, you know, has to jump on things immediately.
And of course, we see very little, you know, when it comes to any incidents on the other side. Now, I'm scared to say that because it actually isn't a defense. The fact that there's no drama about whether Hamas is attacking ambulances, which we know that they did because it's on record and, you know, all of their abhorrent behavior. But so it's not a defense because the IDF isn't that. But yet somehow it just feels a little hypocritical.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, obviously it's not a defense at all. You know, Israel also is required to abide by rules, which it does do so or tries to do so for the most part. Again, there's no perfection in war, and that's unrealistic. And again, it should be investigated. But I do think there's also a deliberate campaign to be silent about what Hamas does in order to magnify the outrage on Israel, to make it seem like, in terms of the narrative, that, you know, evil, horrible, war-criming, genociding Israel is just attacking these defenseless, innocent Palestinians, and there's no fighters there, Hamas doesn't exist. You know, they're just attacking ambulances and deliberately killing civilians for fun. So, I think that's precisely why we see the silence. And I think, you know, the ICRC is also a big player in this because they do rarely speak up when Hamas is committing the crimes. And I think it also shows the nature of this conflict because they have to operate in this territory controlled by Hamas. They stay silent because they're cowards, you know, and they want to be able to operate. So they're going to keep their mouths shut about what Hamas is doing, because they know it could be endangering their own staff. But at the same time, that sets up this false narrative, and they don't do anything to disabuse people of this false narrative. So I do think a big part of the blame rests with the ICRC.
That is where we leave it. It's a story that we will keep following. And Hertzberg, thank you as always, and wishing you a Shabbat Shalom and a Chag Sameach. That was Anne. Anne is a legal advisor of NGO Monitor. She's an expert in lawfare. It is 8:56.